I mentioned this yesterday, that over the weekend I had a conversation with a friend of mine who I respect a lot. And this is the one thing. People can disagree about their politics and still be in love with each other, right? It's okay. Whether you like each other, love each other, whatever it happens to be. And I think that's one of the things that we're starting to lose here. And not just because of the COVID-19, but all kinds of reasons, right, over the last decade. But let's address this directly, because I was talking to him, and he was talking about his friends, and he sent me a video that indicates that, and they believe, and they're seeing this on social media, and they're seeing it on some of the on cable media as well, that the numbers of COVID-19 cases are being artificially inflated for either gain, financial gain by the hospitals, or political gain by the enemies of the president, or both. That's what we're hearing, is that that even now that we are at 91,000 COVID deaths in the United States, that's really not 91,000 because they're counting deaths that are not actually COVID deaths. These are people who are having car accidents who might be COVID positive, and therefore they're counting them as that. To which I said to my friend, I don't think that's really happening. But he said, no, I know what's happening. And how do you know? Because I saw it on social media. Now, the other piece here is the counting of people who have comorbidities. Why aren't you counting the comorbidity? That's it's a more reasonable question, but it still, I think, has an answer that I believe, which is if somebody has heart condition, they have heart disease, and then they die after getting infected with the COVID-19, I'm still going to blame the COVID-19 for that death on that day. So we found an expert who can answer these questions, because we have asked the experts. We asked the Illinois Hospital Association, because we asked the AMA. They sent us to the American Hospital Association, and then they sent us to the Illinois Hospital Association, and the people there were like, we don't even want to talk. We don't even want to address this. Well, I would make the suggestion that they address it, because people truly, firmly believe this. And if it is not true, or there is some nuance to this answer, I think they should address it, because silence is not golden in situations like this. Jerry Kaminsky is with us. He's a professor of health policy and management at UCLA and has been looking at exactly this problem. And Jerry, thanks so much for taking the time with us. So let's start with the initial theory here that hospitals are coding people as COVID-19 deaths so that they can collect anywhere from $13,000 to $35,000 a patient, because they're getting hurt on the other side of this ledger because they're close to their other services. What's your thought?
Well, so let's start with the figures alone. So this is the facts of this sort of theory, and conspiracy theories often have a kernel of truth. So let's talk about the kernel of truth first. The kernel of truth is that if a Medicare patient is hospitalized with an infectious disease, they get paid on average, and the data is a couple years old, on average, they get paid about $13,000, okay? And this is because Medicare pays hospitals a fixed payment amount based on the patient's medical condition, not on what the hospital actually, the amount of care that's provided. So this is a system that's been in place since 1983.
And this is a diagnosis code. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's
delay here. But there's a diagnosis code that the hospital then puts in, and whatever it happens to be, whether it's heart, cancer, whatever
exactly
it is.
Right.
Okay, got it.
And so Medicare's been paying using this system since 1983. It's also true that if you have an infectious disease like COVID, and you get put on a ventilator, you get paid more, because the assumption is that you're putting a patient on a ventilator because they're seriously ill and they need that to sustain life. So, yes, there will be a higher payment for being a more severely ill patient. So those are the kernel of the truth.
Okay, now wait, and let me stop you there for a second, too. So if you came in with something else and you had to be on a ventilator, would you be paid more for that as well?
Oh, absolutely.
But the hospital would be paid more. Okay. So it's just the ventilator
because
that they're getting paid more for.
Ventilator patients are being intubated in ICUs. ICUs are expensive because they're much more sophisticated than a typical hospital room, and you get 24-hour around-the-clock care by an individual nurse.
Okay.
So the ratio is 1-to-1 as opposed to a general hospital floor.
Right.
So, you know, all of this is the way that hospital care is provided. So I think where the sort of the deception comes in is patients. I assume that the conspiracy theory is that patients are coming into the hospital, suddenly being labeled as COVID patients when they don't have it, and then being put on ventilators when they don't need it because the hospital is getting paid more money. Well, on the surface of it, that's just outrageous to make that claim. And the point is that there's no evidence that this is occurring whatsoever. Hospitals do get paid under the Medicare program, which accounts for roughly about 40% of hospital revenue across the country. They do get paid more depending on the patient's condition and their diagnosis and the actual treatment that's provided. But this theory is basically assuming that people are getting, first of all, labeled as COVID when they're not. Secondly, that they're getting an extremely invasive and potentially life-threatening intervention, i.e. ventilator, being put on a ventilator, when they don't need it because the hospital stands to gain of about $30,000. Mm-hmm. So, there are a lot of outrageous claims out there. This is one of the more interesting and more outrageous ones that I've heard. It's certainly not the most outrageous, but it rates probably in the top 10.
It is interesting, and I think it's a mistake that the AMA and the Hospital Association, I know that it seems outrageous, and it is it's a conspiracy theory, and people shouldn't be, major organizations don't have to respond to every conspiracy theory. Like, the Defense Department's always asked about aliens and things like that, right? But at this moment, in this case, it is also new. It is also emergent. It is there is some confusion, and the reality of how people get their information now. They don't necessarily go to unbiased news sources, or because they don't believe that the news sources are unbiased. First of all, even if they are dealing with something that is fact based like this, they figure that there is an agenda behind it, and so that if it disagrees with where they stand on it, that it must be, and they're confronted with different information, that information must come from a corrupted source. And that's going on both sides, right? That's the way that's the way this is moving here. This is a public health emergency, and this is a public health situation. And that's where I think we really do need to be far more thoughtful about this. And that's where organizations like the American Hospital Association should be coming out and directly addressing this. You are at UCLA, but which has an amazing health system, in and of itself, and people understand when they get sick, they want to go to a hospital, and they don't really understand nor care if they have private insurance or they have public insurance or whatever it happens to be. They just want to get better, and they're going to worry about all the rest of that stuff later. To now say, well, this isn't a big deal. I think one of the problems, I want to talk to you on the other side. We'll also take some phone calls here too. 312-981-7200. Sure. And Jerry, hold on one second. I want to ask you about this, which is, I think that it makes people feel better potentially if they think, well, this is not as bad as everybody says that it is. This isn't as virulent. It isn't as deadly. It was a big deal. It's just like a bad flu. And why are we closing down the whole economy for it? A lot of people are asking that question. So Jerry Kaminsky is going to stay with us. He's a professor of health policy and management at UCLA and an expert on this particular issue, not just because of COVID-19, but throughout his career. So we found the right guy for the right story. Come right back to you, to him, 312-981-7200. Talking about this for the last couple of days, I think there's a lot of folks out in the United States of America, especially people that I've been talking to, who believe that this coronavirus crisis is manufactured, not as big a deal. And one of the things that they point to, one of the pieces of evidence that they point to, is this notion that the hospitals are overcounting coronavirus deaths. And they're doing it because there is some form of remuneration that comes to the hospitals. If you code a death as COVID-19, you're going to get a $13,000 automatic payment. If you put somebody on a ventilator, it's going to be a $35,000 automatic payment. And so the hospitals are taking advantage of the crisis, which doesn't even exist. Now, we have Jerry Kaminsky with us from UCLA, who is an expert on this entire field. And he is... explained exactly why that wouldn't actually, that's not the case earlier on in the program. But I think one of the reasons, Jerry, that people feel this way is that they want it to be the case. They yeah. want, they prefer that this not be a big a deal, as big a deal, because it is invisible and it is scary and you don't know if you're going to catch it. And it makes everybody a hypochondriac at some level.
Well, Ro, I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, and I do think that we've reached a point now in a lot of the country where it's been almost 2 months now, where we've been on some sort of lockdown or restriction on our normal way of life, and people's patience is running thin. As a result, what people are doing is they're looking for some way out of this, and one convenient way for some people is to say it's really being overhyped. It's not as serious. And one way to follow that line of thinking is to say the people who are on the front lines treating this are somehow deceiving us. And the scientists who are up there on the podium at the White House, in the federal government, in the CDC, that they're somehow deceiving us, that they have their own motives, that they're protecting themselves as opposed to telling us the truth. Now, you know, I happen to think that that's a completely distorted way of thinking, but nothing about this virus and nothing about what's happened in the last 2 months, none of us have very much experience dealing with a crisis like this in our lifetime. The last pandemic was 100 years ago, 102 years ago, and we faced a lot of military, political crises during the course of the last 100 years, but nothing that is quite like this. Yeah. And so people are lost, and they're looking, their exhaustion and their fear or their panic, anything is causing them to look for a villain. And unfortunately, it's the scientists, it's the doctors and nurses and healthcare providers, it's the public health professionals who are now becoming the demons, because they're the ones who are the naysayers that are saying, no, this isn't over. It could get worse. We need to be vigilant. And people are saying, I'm tired of being vigilant. I don't see the risk. I'm going out.
All right, Jerry Kaminsky from UCLA is with us. We'll go to the phones now, 312-981-7200. Your thoughts on that? Andrew, go ahead, sir.
I was just wondering, even on WGN News, they stated that 90% of these COVID deaths, every day there's more COVID deaths, have comorbidities. And they don't really talk about that. It's just, they just threw that figure out there. So is that true, that 90% of the deaths do have COVID morbidities?
Well, they don't really talk about it. Sure. You heard it.
Additional morbidities? In other words, for example, a friend of mine was 30 years old in great health, had a heart attack, all of a sudden died at the hospital. On the death certificate, it said COVID because he had COVID. And they stated on WGN News that 90% of the deaths have other morbidities in addition to COVID, heart conditions.
All right, Doctor. Let's let Jerry handle that. What do you think?
Okay, so let me address the question, and just to remind your audience, I'm a PhD. I'm not a clinician. I'm not a medical doctor. Okay. However, I have looked at the data. I don't know. I don't think that it's 90%. But when we talk about comorbidities, we're not talking about somebody who goes in and dies of a heart attack who also had COVID. What we're talking about is that something on the order of 35 to 40% of hospitalized patients with COVID have hypertension. Now, I have hypertension. It is not going to kill me because I take medication. But if I get COVID, I am, based on the data, worldwide data to date, the fact that I have hypertension makes me much more susceptible to dying from this condition because of the physiological response that it generates. And apparently hypertension makes me more vulnerable to having higher probability of dying if
right,
I get
there's a mechanism to that. So, and again, you're the friend of your friend, Andrew, and I would ask you this. The question is, if he had COVID and he had that heart attack, and one of the things that we know about COVID is that we're seeing that it creates clotting in some of the patients, and the heart attacks are often related to blood clots. Would you not say that the COVID killed him on that day as opposed to having a heart attack years later?
I mean, we don't know that, obviously. Like, right. Anything's possible.
But I mean, would it be stupid to assume that?
All I'm saying is that basically everyone that dies and has had COVID is strictly listed as a COVID death, and the death numbers keep going up. We never hear about the healthy people that have had it and who survived it, how many people survived
it. Well, you actually do. I mean, we report on that every day. But let me just give you another statistic here.
Okay.
So Channel 9, WGN-TV, is doing the story tonight where they look at the numbers of deaths so far this year in 2020, the number of people who have died in the state of Illinois versus who died in 19, 18, and 17. Okay? So it is on average, if you take those 3 years and you look at this year, there are 4,000 more deaths averaging those 3 years than there are 4,000 more deaths this year than those past, right? So 4,000, that's the number. And the COVID morbidity numbers, according to the state of Illinois, are 4,379.
Mm-hmm.
So is it safe to assume that that's COVID, or do you think that that's a distortion?
Well, I'm not saying anything's being distorted. I'm just saying that it's being reported as COVID deaths. And if you look, and also in addition to the population of Illinois, which is 12.6 million or thereabouts, mm-hmm. and you look at the percentages and you do the math, it's like you have a less than 1% chance of dying. You have a probably better chance of any other diseases, or dying of the flu, for example, other diseases like that, and nothing like that ever gets blown out of proportion.
All right. Jerry, I want you to reset. Andrew, thank you very much. Appreciate it. That's exactly what I'm... Andrew is bringing up the points that exactly my friends are bringing up, which is all of those. So, Jerry, your thoughts on it.
Well, look, first of all, the argument that it's just the flu, and, you know, every year we have people dying of the flu and we don't shut down the economy. First of all, the COVID crisis is not over. We don't know what the final death toll is going to be, but we have never had a flu season that right now the projections are that by August we're going to have 140,000 deaths in the United States related to COVID. And that's from essentially March 1st. Right. We have not had a flu season that has killed this many people this quickly in the last 50 years. So the idea that this is just the flu and that people die every day, yes, they do. But I think you correctly pointed out that it's the excess death rate that we're seeing. The fact that based on the typical number of deaths during the months of March and April, we're seeing a huge increase across the country, not only in Illinois, but in every state. So The evidence is really overwhelming that this is not just a typical flu season.
Yeah. I would also add to that, too, and I don't want to pile on here, but I think it's important to note, we do have protection against the flu. We have a vaccine against the flu. We have antivirals that save lives in otherwise healthy people, and even older people with comorbidities. Dying of I'm hypertensive as well. Doctor, congratulations. You and I are in the same boat there. And yeah, I mean, I have underlying issues that would make it more likely for me to get hospitalized with this than it would my 30-year-old daughter, right? I mean, that would be a different situation. But having said that, there's no protection. I have protection against the flu at some level. This is a new virus. There is no, nobody's body would know how to fight this thing off. And until, you know, such time as that we get a vaccine, or again, and we're hopeful that some of these things, whether it's remdesivir, which is now being tested here in Illinois, they're going to do a test of remdesivir with another drug on top of it that may actually save people who are presenting to get ill. They don't quite have the full-blown you know, like intensive care version of it. They're on their way to that, and it may be able to divert that. So those are good things. And that's, you know, if we can get into a situation, but that still requires hospital care to get there. It just, it seems that there are, there's some whistling in the graveyard here. And Jerry, I really appreciate you being with us. Jerry Kaminsky from UCLA, who looks at all of these issues of, he's a public health policy and management expert at UCLA.